Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cake Sawville. Coming up at 7:20, we'll get into the Junkies' victory. But we're talking about the Redskins' victory on Victory Monday, driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including Priorities for Life, the most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. And joining us right now on the Match for Us hotlines, our pal Craig Hoffman. He covers the Redskins for 106.7 The Fan. And he's brought to you by Dell EMC and TVAR Solutions, transforming the federal data center. Craig, we were talking about it. Look, you don't want to get carried away because the offense didn't score, but it's nice to celebrate a victory with the Redskins, right?
Victories are good. Winning is good. I think there's obviously the counter argument that in a season where you are going to have a very high draft pick, losing is good because you don't want to lose out on the best player possible or the most draft picks if you, say, want the number one pick and to trade out because there's going to be a sweepstakes for Joe Burrow or whatever. But for the players and the people in that building, it is good. It's good to develop winning habits. It's good for Dwayne to experience a win. So, yeah, there's lots of positives to winning.
So let's talk about the Josh Norman situation first. Okay. So a couple hours before the game, reports were Josh Norman's not going to play. He's going to be inactive. And then he was active, but he didn't play. Just kind of fill us in on the whole background and situation.
So things didn't really change that much throughout the week. This is something I hinted at with you guys last week, that there's a good chance that Josh, and I think Adrian Peterson was on some level in the same boat of, hey, I'm banged up. We need to talk about whether or not I should play and what's best for everybody. And for Adrian's case, it was to go ahead and play because Chris Thompson wasn't healthy. And so for Adrian and his toe injury, it was, hey, all right, look, we need three back. So let's go ahead and suit up and play. And I can play, but it's, you know, that it was that. On Josh's end, there was a different answer. On Josh's end, it was, I'm not playing to the level that I want because I've got a hamstring injury, and that's my fifth injury of the year. I looked it up yesterday. He's had five different injuries on the injury report this year. And he knows that these young guys need the reps. And so he essentially not pulled himself out, but he had a conversation with Minuski and with Ray Horton, the defensive backs coach, and with Callahan on Thursday. And they sat down and decided, yeah, this is best for everybody. Let's go ahead and have you sit out, and we'll revisit things when you're healthy. Now, the way Fabian played yesterday, is Josh going to immediately just go back when he's healthy, which could be as early as this week? You know, we know how badly he likes or how badly he's going to want to play in Carolina. I don't know, but he's better than Aaron Colvin, which is why he was active. And if they need him in case of emergency, he's ready. He's in meetings. He's practicing as much as he can with the health and much as he should be with the health. And that's the situation. I think everyone wants to make it a lot more than it is and more sinister than it is, but he's hurt and he's compensating he's factoring that in. And because of where they are record wise, he's not going to push through it because that'd be stupid for everybody.
But don't you also, you don't think he's also been benched?
No. I mean, I'm not telling you that he's been an all-pro this year or a Pro Bowler or even that great. I do think, as I say every week, he's been better than people realize because some of the stuff where he's the guy getting quote-unquote scored on is because someone else blew coverage, and he's the one stuck to deal with it. So he's on the TV screen, and everyone's like, ah, Norman stinks. But it also is injury related. He can't. He's not a speed guy anyway. He's got a hamstring injury.
No
he
doubt.
Can't run. So you see him get smoked on the over the middle, and that happens to Josh sometimes. But it's worse because it's a hamstring issue. So yeah, he's benched, but it's not like he's playing with a full deck here. And so you know, it was something that was brought to my attention last Monday, and it was in the context of Josh may pull himself out because he's not clear. He clearly can't do the things he wants to do.
All right, so let's talk about Fabian Moreau. We talked to you just last week, and you were talking about how Moreau has had a bad year, and I don't argue with you there. Is it a situation where maybe he's better served in kind of the spot that he played yesterday versus what he plays during the regular season?
Without question. No, I want to see more, but right. He is unquestionably better outside. He's a bad slot corner, and that's a hard job. Like, slot... I actually think slot is harder than outside. Now, that dynamic can change if you're facing DeAndre Hopkins than most of the slot receivers in the NFL. But because you don't have that sideline as protection, it's really tough to play in there. And there's a lot of communication that has to happen. And Moreau struggled with every single facet of that job. But you put him outside yesterday and say, hey, here's kind of your silo. You're not going to have to do that much where you're crossing the field. You know, they'll challenge you vertically, and he can just be an athlete. Fabian Moreau's a sick athlete. That dude can run. He's strong. And you see all that stuff yesterday. It's, you know, that interception he has deep. But then you see maybe he's got a better understanding of where things sit outside too. The interception to close things out was a really smart play. You know, he knew there's no Hail Mary coming. They knew it's going to be hook and ladder, and he goes and jumps the hook. I can't remember seeing that. That's brilliant stuff from him. So for him to be able to shift outside, I think is big. Moreland's probably more of a slot guy long term, so he gets to slide inside and had a pretty solid game. Could have had a really big game. You know, there was just seconds before Dunbar's pick, Moreland could have had a pick six. So, I think that's, you know, we talk about the win for everybody with Josh not playing. For Fabian, he might have been the biggest winner of them all.
Joined by Craig Hoffman, covers the Redskins for 106.7 The Fan. He's brought to you by Dell EMC and TVAR Solutions, transforming the federal data center. So Haskins misses the final snap to take a selfie with a fan. I don't think it's a huge deal. I'm guessing Bill Callahan probably thinks otherwise. I'm guessing it's something that's not going to happen again. He's going to get a talking to about it. Talk about the way the end of that game transpired with Keenum coming in for the final kneel down.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. And I, you know, Bill initially was laughing about it. He's like, yeah, we couldn't find him. And then someone followed up and was like, hey, you're kind of laughing about this. Like, what's the deal? He's like, no, like, it's something we'll address, but let's not, you know, I got to find out more. I think Bill's, you know, who we'll see, you know, is he the kind of guy that's going to figure out, oh, he's taking selfies? Well, that's a big deal. But, you know, he's celebrating with fans. What he was doing to celebrate is kind of irrelevant to me. And I just think overall, from the moment he makes, and I told this to Russell on pregame or on postgame last night, and after sleeping on it, my opinion hasn't changed. It's from the moment he completes the ball to Terry to set up the game-winning field goal, he acted like a guy who had never been there before, which is fine in a way because he'd never been there before. He'd never won an NFL game as a starting quarterback, and so to see the youth, the fact that he liked winning. All that stuff. Like, I'm kind of okay with it. He won. Just don't do that again. And so from celebrating in that moment with McLaurin instead of being on top of the clock, where they all of a sudden are now in a weird situation where they have to call timeout, because their quarterback is not paying attention at all on a running clock with 20 seconds to go, to now, of course, sidebar. Bill could have just waited, let Dwayne run around in circles and call timeout with 6 seconds left. And then if not, take a knee and wherever Hopkins wants the field goal, whatever hash or the center, and then spike it. Like, figure out how to kill the other 15 seconds. That's bad coaching. But for Dwayne's sake, like, you also should be in command of that situation. And then to not realize that the game wasn't over, to how he handled the press conference, I thought was kind of odd. I'm not going to overrate
prickly.
Press conference.
He's a prickly guy. He's definitely got a huge chip on his shoulder.
For sure. And there's elements of that that are really positive. but he's going to – I think he'll learn over time how to handle success. And that's part of Dwayne's learning curve is how to handle failure and how to handle success. Yeah. And I'm okay with him learning, especially – this is why I think it's so important for him to play right now. The results don't matter this year. But the more stuff he experiences, the more stuff he'll be prepared for in the future. So while I would never – like, it doesn't mean he's a bad guy. It doesn't mean it's a big deal and he's going to be a failure. I'm not looking at that press conference and be like, oh, he's so arrogant. What a bust. I'm like, no, that's a kid who's never won in the NFL before and has been hearing from a lot of people how bad he is and how much of a failure he is and that he's going to be a bust. And he just proved them – in his mind, he proved them wrong. And I'm okay with all of that as long as he then takes those experiences forward and starts acting like he's been there before, because there's just too many games in this league, and it's something where, you know, that professionalism has to happen, because you're also in a locker room with grown men that if you do that stuff all the time are going to start to roll your eyes and you're going to lose your locker room.
Look, I'll say it. In my opinion, he's pretty immature, but, you know, he's 21, whatever the hell he is.
For sure. No, he is immature, but at 22, he's, you know, there's going to be a level of that.
Yeah, I think so. I'd like to see him grow. What I will say as a positive is that there were a ton of plays to be made there, and, you know, I don't know anything about quarterbacking, but what I'm watching from my couch, it looked to me like he was generally making the right reads. He just had too much smoke on his ball. You know, he needs a little more air under some of these. He needs to be a little more accurate. I understand he didn't want to underthrow because he was playing a good corner, the guy that had McLaurin. So, okay, I'll buy that. But if he could take a little off his fastball and just hit on a few of these things, I think you have something that you can work with. I saw enough there. If he can harness this, that we might have something.
Without question, his decision-making was better. His decision-making was absolutely better than it was against the Jets. There's still a couple plays, but, you know, even guys who have put up monster numbers and won in this offense, because remember, it is the same offense. You know, Cousins, Alex Smith, how often do we talk about them missing stuff? So you're just going to miss stuff in this league.
Of course.
But the question then becomes, how consistently can he be accurate? And I think this, more than the decision-making and more than the other stuff, is the biggest long-term question with Dwayne, because he wasn't accurate in college. He didn't have to be. Guys were so open in college with so much consistency that he could complete 70% of his balls. And, you know, he's throwing for 50 touchdowns and all that kind of stuff. And the numbers look amazing. But if you watched what is quote unquote accurate in the NFL is just different, because the coverage is a lot tighter. You have to put the ball exactly where it's supposed to be. And so, yeah, he missed Terry a bunch. And yes, he's trying to throw the ball to make sure Darius Slay can't get hands on it, but that's the league. The league is playing guys like Darius Slay. The league is hitting those tight window throws that honestly weren't that tight. Terry McLaurin smoked Darius Slay all day. Mm-hmm. That kid is sick. I have not seen a corner cover him yet. Tre'Darius White from Buffalo was the best one, and he still won consistently on White on a day where they obviously didn't pass a whole lot. So, you know, Terry made it about as easy as you're going to see a receiver make it. And against a corner who's that good, and Dwayne missed him a bunch. Terry should have had almost 200 yards receiving yesterday. But the good news is Dwayne was looking there. Dwayne was not afraid to throw those balls. Dwayne's eyes were in the right place to see Terry win against Darius Slay. So those are all positive things. He's got to clean up the mechanics. He said his wrist was bothering him. He got hit early in the game. That was a weird response in the press conference, and there was never any kind of announcement. You know, who knows? Maybe it was. Throwing a football with a banged-up wrist would be more difficult. But whatever it is, he's got to hit that stuff, because you're not going to win a lot of games in the NFL where you don't score a touchdown. And, you know, Steven Sims had a heck of a day yesterday, obviously, with that kickoff return, and that was enough to be the difference.
One thing, and we're going to have to run here in a minute, but at least Callahan/O'Connell opened up the game plan, allowed Haskins to take those chances. I like that. Let's see if he can tighten it up. And then the other thing is, it's early, and there's only been a little bit, but we're starting to see a little bit of an emergence from Harmon, which is great.
Yeah, Calvin's played really well. The young receivers have all looked pretty good. And I will say, I think Kevin's put together some really good game plans. The last 2 weeks, I liked what they've done. They got a little bit in a first down run rut yesterday, which I imagine is all, not to say everything that's good is Kevin, everything bad is Bill, but we know that Bill wants to run the ball early. And I think there was a point where Grant was tracking it next to me in the press box. There was like 10 straight first and 10 runs or something like that. So they did get into that a little bit, but overall you see the plans, you see how things are schemed up. They're trying to find things that make Dwayne comfortable. And I think he was a lot more comfortable yesterday. He just didn't execute at a high level, but those are good signs moving forward that they're finding those things. And Kevin's finding those things that can make Dwayne comfortable, because that will eventually lead to success in some big days.
All right, Craig. Thank you, buddy. It's nice to have something positive to talk about for a week anyway.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Okay.
Who's their next game? Carolina?
At Carolina.
At Carolina. I think they have two roadies coming up, right? Carolina. At Carolina and at Green Bay?
Yes.
Tough loss for Carolina yesterday. They had a potential game-winning field goal chip shot, and they miss it with about a minute and 20 left. Gave the ball back to Breeze. They march it down, hit the game-winning field goal.
I think Carolina's kicker missed three extra points and two field goals in the same game.
Brutal.
That is a brutal day for Joey Sly.
See you later, Sly, is what I would say.
It was a rough one.
Yeah, so we'll go around the NFL coming up at 7:45. Fill you in on the picture. Remember, Morgan Moses, Redskins right tackle, joins us at 8:20 on Mondays. Chris Thompson, Redskins running back at 9. So we'll get the skinny from them. But on Friday, we actually were out and about. All the Junkies hosts and the producers got together. We'll fill you in on what went down coming up next here on the Junkies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington on a Victory Monday, driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including Priorities for Life, the most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. We'll go around the NFL coming up at 7:45 and then get back into the Redskins. In the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Morgan Moses, Redskins right tackle at 8:20. Chris Thompson, Redskins running back at 9. But we wanted to kind of recap our Friday evening. We had hyped it up so much about going to the Palm in Tyson's and followed by a bowling outing, which, you know, apparently the boys had an idea of kind of the after party bowling. And when we were talking about bowling the other day, like, we somehow got into a bowling tangent.
I knew it'd be fun.
We ended up making bowling happen.
I will say this. I think we did one too many games. The boys won the third game, and they got sized, and then they wanted to run it back one more time. I think they were secretly hoping to then have fifth. Yeah. Well, that's what they were secretly hoping for.
Are we going to play till 2 in the morning? Yeah, but, I mean, what are we doing here?
I'll be honest. I ran out of gas. After 3, I was good.
Well, you probably – I got to the Palm at 5:35 or so. Mm-hmm. So I had some traffic. There's just no escaping traffic. If you leave in Maryland and you're heading to Virginia
– yeah.
Even if you do the back roads, you're eventually going to face some, maybe a little American Legion Bridge.
You have a back
traffic.
Road around the American Legion Bridge.
You can, from 270, I can take Falls Road and do like MacArthur Boulevard.
Yeah, but
you can do certain bailouts. There are certain things which can help you.
You can do a few things to manipulate it.
But eventually you're going to face some traffic.
I Ubered down there.
Right.
And when you Uber, you're at the mercy of the driver. And for whatever reason, Waze had him get off 495, go this other way, like go down Democracy. It was just bizarre right. what it had us doing. And meanwhile, I just wanted to backseat drive and say, dude, I can handle this. I know the traffic pattern. I stay in the right lane. I ride out river. I act like I'm going to river. I take the okie doke and get back on 485. I mean, I know how to manipulate this to
that
the best of
a few minutes.
I know
no
how
doubt.
To maximize this. Yeah. Instead, he's following the dumb ways, and it was taking us like, to the mall. It was all over the place.
Yeah, I know.
So I got there.
I kind of know that path.
I wanted to get there at 5:15.
He's dodging 495 as much as possible.
I got there just a few minutes before
right.
you.
Okay. So I mean, it was a long evening. We were celebrating our ratings roll, which is great. Thank you to all the listeners. It's the first time that we kind of had a dinner together, and it'd been a while since I'd been to the Palms. It's always great to see our guy Timmy Seymour.
Yeah, Timmy was great.
Yep, he took great care of us.
We did the happy hour before, kind of. Jason was there.
Yep,
because
mm-hmm.
a lot of people saw the pictures. If you want to see some of the pictures, they're all up at Junks Radio. If you follow us on Twitter or go to Facebook.com/TheJunks. We have pictures from the Palm and pictures from our bowling outing. Drab arrived a little bit later, so we were hanging out in the bar a little bit longer past 6, which, you know, Cakes, he's like in a panic because he likes to have dinner at like 5 or 5:30
yeah.
in an empty restaurant.
Well, it was perfect when we sat down, but by the time dinner was over, I mean, the Palm was crowded. I mean, it was completely full.
You mean it had an ambiance?
Yeah, it had too many people. But now I know that that's what they want, obviously. They want every table to be filled and then to turn those tables over and fill them again. I understand the restaurant biz. I know how it works.
But we had some drinks at the bar, and then we sat down at the table, and, of course, the producers have set up the seating chart.
Absolutely.
How did you think it worked?
It's getting rave reviews.
I think it worked out well.
It's getting rave reviews from who? You guys?
Yeah, Drab complimented me on the seating chart.
Give me the seating chart.
It was a round table for 6 guys.
And everyone was interacting according to plan.
I think it was a good dynamic.
Yes.
One move that we probably should talk about is so big deal. Look, the Palm treats us very well. We used to shoot table manners from the Palm. We've had a relationship with them for probably close to 15 years. I don't know if we should have ordered a $200 bottle of wine because right. we had a feeling the bill was going to rhyme with hero.
Right. Well, now again, to defend us, to defend Valdez, who ultimately pulled the trigger on it, there were a lot more expensive bottles than the one that was ordered. And if you split it with a table, ultimately it's not that expensive.
I asked the waiter what he would recommend.
Yeah.
And then that's what he picked out.
Right. Of course he's going to say the expensive bottle.
Yeah, but again, he wasn't getting any real extra out of it because Bill was kind of taken care of.
Although we gave him a nice tip.
We got a very healthy tip.
You got a very
usually
good tip. You make
as
up
you should.
For it. I mean, you give him a great tip.
Yeah. Those comp dinners end up costing me almost as much.
You cannot get sported on dinner and then leave a chintzy tip.
Right.
You can't look like a squeaker. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, amazing meal at the Palm. We all overindulged.
How did you know, by the way, that the bottle was $200?
Because there was some discussion afterwards. List.
I mean, the prices are on the wine list, correct?
I don't know. I mean, I never looked at a wine list. I never looked at anything. So who said it was 200? Like, how do we know?
I think Valdez saw it.
I think it said it was 200 on the thing.
Oh. Yeah, I never would have ordered.
But again, if you
200.
Order a bottle of wine for 6 or 7 people and you finish the entire thing, 200 divided by 7 is what? 20, 30 bucks ahead for
35 bucks
for wine for the night.
Where's the seventh guy?
It's not outrageous. It was 6. I can't remember.
The seventh guy is the aged bottle and Cakes his head.
Yeah. Yeah, that was getting some attention during the happy hour.
Did you have your wife look at that?
The bruise
on
top of your head?
We determined that it's a bruise. Yeah. We have not determined how I got said bruise.
Yeah. So Cakes had 2 spots on the top of his bald dome. He had one, which clearly was a cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, from shaving. And then the other one was just this weird, like at the very top of his head,
it's
purple spot.
As you get older, you start getting weird spots like on your body. You just can't identify what they are.
Yeah. How long were we there at dinner?
It was about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, 2.5
That's
hours.
A long dinner.
Yeah, Cakes was showing his age spots on his hand, and liver spots on his dome.
I mean, these are dainty baby soft hands, but they are showing the sign. Starting to show some signs of age.
Yeah.
They just are. What are you going
to
do?
I don't know if the boys were trying to sabotage. AWOD's trying to lose weight, right?
So he how did he do? Did he eat a ton?
Weight.
I didn't pay attention to him.
The boys had him order something that was like 40 ounces.
Yeah, it was like the biggest like veal parmesan or what it like veal chop.
Like Just that itself was a ton of food. Yeah. And then, of course, we all ordered
a bunch of sides. Did you have dessert over there, stupid?
No, I had coffee with Frangelica.
Hey, gotta order with Frangelica. Valdez was very insistent. If you had coffee, you had to have a shot of Frangelica to pour in it.
And so after we're at the Palm, we ride over to the bowling alley, which is about 3 or 4
miles
away.
He didn't order food there, did he?
No. Do you know what happened to him before he arrived at bowling?
I know he puked.
He had too much food.
Who, AWOS?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
I didn't hear
this
detail.
Was it from food or was it from booze?
I wasn't drunk. I was tipsy, but driving the car ride over kept going, you sure you don't want to throw up? And he was baiting me. Because he goes, I ate too much. I'm going to throw up.
Right.
So I was just egging him on because I wanted him to throw up because it would be funny.
Right.
It's a big portion. That veal chop, the veal parmesan.
Let's just spotlight that the guy who has to lose 30 pounds ate so much at dinner that he puked it all up.
Yeah.
All of us, correct. All of us overindulged because
I definitely ate too much.
The sides are incredible there. So we ordered like almost every side. We ordered cream spinach. We ordered
they also gave us a bunch
potatoes.
Of appetizers
they
before.
They brought us the appetizers before, which is, you know, jumbo lump.
Right. But these had to make sure that it was all jumbo lump, which was
the shoestring fries, which people don't know you're ordering fries.
Them.
And then everybody dipped into them.
Of course, because they're delicious. They're fries. Amazing. Who doesn't like fries?
I understand we're at the Palm, but they're fries as a side. Everybody Jones, how can you order fries? And then they all put their hands
and
in
everybody
there.
Everybody indulges.
Yeah. So we're all full, but he couldn't even handle the food.
Yeah.
It was a weak constitution.
It's just the cheesiest meal I've ever had. I wasn't prepared for it.
Right.
And so we show up to
Adam may need to adopt bulimia if he wants to lose his weight.
Yeah, I'm thinking it may be no harm, no foul.
Right.
If he puked.
I was thinking about that, too.
Right?
If he puked, it kind of cancels it out.
Right? I mean, it's not healthy, but
Valdez was calling me the MVP of the night because puked and rallied.
Yeah, because he came in and he said how he puked in the parking lot and came in to bowl a mediocre game.
Yeah, and immediately had a beer and was ready.
Well, let's be clear. We all bowled mediocre games. But it was a bloodbath. So it was the producers against the junkies.
Yeah.
EB had his ball, which I think Valdez ended up using. And I'll give credit to Valdez. Valdez's last two games were pretty strong.
Yeah.
But the first two games were not competitive at all. I think we won the second game by either... It was right around 200 pins. It might have been over 200 pins or like 190 pins.
It was a shellacking.
I mean, just drubbed it.
A lot of joning, too, about me rolling the ball nice and soft. But you know where I rolled that ball nice and soft? Down the middle a lot.
Yeah.
No gutter balls. Flaky. Not exactly.
Snails move faster
That's
than
fine.
Cakes and bowling balls.
It's fine. Look at the end result.
Cakes had the high score, actually, of a 156.
Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice.
Cakes bet us over here.
So We didn't know if we were going to do a third game, and then we decided, okay, we'll do a third game. The junkies were up 2-0, just smashing them, had just beaten them by like 200 pins. And then in the third game, maybe our age got the better of us. We were slowing down. We just weren't, you know, converting.
I'll be honest
with you,
I'm getting tired. I'm usually good for about two games.
Right. These guys were joning the whole time.
Yeah.
Plus, they didn't even break 100, I think, in the first couple of games. So Drab actually put like a 130 on the board. Valdez maybe put up a 140 or something like that on the board. AWOD got over 100. And we had kind of some.
Did you guys
games.
Order pitchers?
Yes.
Yes. I didn't have any of that. Maybe that got you going. Maybe that got some of the guys
got
going.
Got Valdez going. He looked pummeled.
Yeah. By the end of the night, Valdez looked pummeled. Yeah. I don't know what happened to him. Like, you look, I don't want to make fun of it, but you start the night at the bowling alley. By the end of the night, it looked like, seriously, a tornado hit him. I don't know what happened.
Apparently, he sent a text message, a group text message that I didn't get. I don't know if JP didn't get it, but it said, hey, don't post that picture of me up.
Right.
It's the worst picture in the world.
I woke up on Saturday morning, and it's all over the place.
I refuse to go on Twitter.
You don't want to see the results?
Right.
I can only
imagine.
TV. Yeah, now it's on TV. Yeah.
I know.
He's got the thumbs up.
I asked the boys.
Doug, could you put the picture before? Put the before and after, like literally an hour before.
It's the worst picture. Like,
if you're watching
look at him
Sports
there.
Washington,
look at him there, JP.
You can see it. Yeah, no, I know.
An hour before.
I know. And the Palm. I actually said it at the Palm. Like, when we're at happy hour with Jason, when I arrived, it was you, Jason, Valdez. So I was like the fourth guy to arrive, and I looked at Valdez. First of all, he usually wears a hat.
Yeah.
He usually looks disheveled. He's got a hoodie.
Yeah, he looked good.
He had a nice button down. He had his hair gelled up.
But after a while, the evening takes its toll on everybody.
It took its toll.
It was a long day.
Yeah. But I'll say this. Even though we lost game three, it kind of made it a little bit more fun. Yeah,
I guess.
I mean, like, they were getting a little, like, I mean, we were just.
They were getting fired up.
They were getting fired up.
We had a reason to keep playing.
And then we ran it, and the fourth game was competitive. We ended up pulling it out in the end.
Yeah.
So overall, it was a good time.
Overall, great time. Great idea. But I don't know. I don't know when we'll do it again, but it was fun.
Got to hit number one again.
It's definitely a fun time.
Right.
Though my thumb is definitely a little bit,
you know, my
thumb is a little bit banged up too.
Yeah, because
of the friction of throwing the stupid ball.
But I have the proper hold.
My thumb is, I have a numb thumb.
Valdez, though, he's competitive to score that after they got whooped in the second game.
Yeah.
He was like, let's go golf. I'll challenge anyone right now. Like,
I did not get Sice getting killed that much.
Right.
And JP's sitting there zooming in, taking 10,000 pictures of the score.
A lot of
and
jolting
posting
on,
them
on
immediately.
Us, a lot of jolting from that side for us being old. Like, you guys are old. But
right.
Took care of some business.
JP couldn't wait to put the scores on Twitter. and then like every single compliment.
Oh, really?
I don't like any compliments. I don't use the like button.
It's a joke, JP.
I'm just telling you, I don't use the like button.
JP, we were having fun. JP was, you know, breaking down the scores and like with fantasy football or something. But
yeah, he was going by frame. Oh, you slipped up on the third frame, guys. You didn't quite get that spare that you needed to.
There's something about
I'm
Cakes, though. He's really good at just lame sports.
I like it. I like it.
Where it takes no athletic
Why,
ability.
What other ones do you think he's
I
good
I just
at?
Noticed this over.
Like,
over
what the, else? What else?
Like ping pong, he was good, I think.
Like he has a good heart rate for running. I mean, who thinks running's a real
sport?
I'm
a sneaky decent athlete. You guys snooze a little bit. That's all.
Like, he's probably good at shuffleboard.
I could be.
He'll be good at that. He's
decent
be good
at bocce.
At
all the leisure sports.
Yeah, he'll be good at that. But overall, I thought it was a lot of fun. Probably two extra too many games for me because I'm old and I was ready to go, call it a night. If I start drinking at 5:30, it's hard to keep going hard.
Day.
We didn't get out of there until 11:30.
Yeah, that's a long day.
Because I drove you home, and then I had to drive myself. So took that bullet, dropped you off, then drove back. So I got home around 12:30.
It was good. The only guy that puked was Adam. And then Adam went out the next night. Didn't you go out the next night, too?
Yeah, of course. I had to get after it this weekend.
Right.
He's now puked in one-on-one basketball against Cakes.
He's got a weak constitution.
And it's just a dinner at the Palm.
I grew up with acid reflux, so I've puked many times in the past. But I usually can handle it. It's just when somebody's baiting you, hey, you're not gonna throw, you're gonna throw up, you're gonna throw up. And then they're making the sounds. I got riled up.
How can somebody who drinks Jameson like it's a juice box out in Arlington just puke all the time from one meal?
Yeah, I don't know.
The mixture of cheese and coffee. That's how.
What did you have? I know we got to go. What did you have Saturday night? Like, what did you eat and drink?
Jack and diets.
The diet? Diet's hooking you?
By the way,
your
Jack and diets at the Palm had very little diet in them. Because I had a taste of it, and I felt like a fire-breathing dragon as soon as I drank it.
Right. Oh, right. Gross. That's how he likes it, Gates.
I guess.
Likes it nice and stiff.
So anyway, you can check out the pictures on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thejunks, or follow us on Twitter at Junks Radio. We got Morgan Moses joining us at 8:20 as we'll talk some Redskins. But next, go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz. Keep it here.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Right now, we're going to go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by the Purple Heart Foundation, honoring their sacrifice with our service. Papa. To help our military veterans, visit donatepurpleheart.org. Figured you'd play that when we were talking about the spot on your head, but you didn't play it.
I did not.
But it is also purple. All right, so besides the Redskins win at 1 o'clock, a couple of games to mention. I'm going to skip over some of the numbers. There weren't great matchups at 1 o'clock. The Browns are kind of making things interesting in the AFC. They beat the Dolphins 41-24. Baker Mayfield throws 3 touchdown passes, 327 yards, hooks up with Jarvis Landry 10 times for 148 yards and 2 touchdowns. Also hooked up with Odell Beckham Jr. for a touchdown. They improved to 5-6, and when you look at their schedule, they do have the Ravens in week 16.
Yeah, that's a toughie.
But they've got the Bengals twice. They've got Arizona, and next week they're in Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh, right now, they may switch to, I guess they're calling him Duck Hodges at quarterback.
You don't know why they call him Duck Hodges.
Because he throws ducks?
No. I believe he's a, I think, I saw a little clip about it. I think he was the Alabama state champion for duck calls. Hence his nickname. I didn't know there was a state championship for
what's,
such
what's
a thing.
What's a duck sound like?
Like that.
Okay. So he can actually do that with his mouth.
I think he uses his mouth and there's like,
so like a whistle
like, there's
or
like
something?
An instrument. I think, look, I clearly don't know cheating? Much about duck calls. If anybody knows about duck calls, wants to call in and help us with this, 800-636-1067.
Now he must use his mouth. If he's like a champion duck caller,
now I need to look it
then
up.
He's not using some tool.
Yeah, it's got to be your mouth. Anyway, the Steelers actually beat the Bengals. They're 6-5, so they're going to play the Browns, who are 5-6. But those are teams battling probably for a wild card spot. Also with the Raiders, who suffered a bad loss yesterday against the Jets, who won their third in a row. I mean, they just smashed the Raiders. The Raiders actually took out Derek Carr because basically they knew the game was over. Just to protect him.
What happened? They just turned the ball over a ton? Or what happened?
I think early in the game they had some opportunities. I think they maybe missed a field goal early. Well, I mean, what really happened is the Jets' offense has come to life the last couple of weeks, and the Raiders couldn't stop them.
Gotcha. Okay.
So you've got the Browns at 5-6, Steelers 6-5. Raiders 6-5. Those are teams going to be battling in the AFC for kind of the last wild card spot. In the NFC, the Niners continue to have the best record. Beat the Packers 37-8 last night. Wasn't even close. Jimmy Garoppolo, 2 more touchdown passes. And they got to Aaron Rodgers. Their defense is legit. Aaron Rodgers was sacked 5 times.
Is this right? This is not right. Did he only throw for 39 yards? What the hell happened?
That's net. He threw for 104 yards. He was sacked 5 times, so maybe they take that away.
Oh, my God.
But I looked at his QBR number.
Yeah.
His quarterback rating was 75. His QBR was 8.5.
Wow.
Couldn't do anything against that Niners defense. So if you look at the NFC picture, the 49ers, best record at 10-1. Seahawks, a game behind in the division and in the conference. They beat the Eagles 17-9 yesterday. Rashad Penny goes for 129 yards rushing.
That's because Chris Carson loves to fumble the ball. His kryptonite is fumbling. So I guess Pete Carroll just said, you're finished. Take a seat. We're going to give the ball to Penny, and he erupted.
Pretty low-scoring game there, Drabby.
Yeah, but the wind was like out of control, and Wentz is awful.
Wentz had 2 picks.
Like, really bad. He sucks.
I know a week ago I saw...
Fumbles all the time.
I saw the end of the game. I can't remember who they were playing, like, 2 weeks ago. And it was a situation where the Eagles had the ball in, like, a late drive, and he was just missing guys. He's looked bad.
Yeah, but the Eagles, they're 5-6, but they have a ridiculously easy schedule to end this. So, it's like the Giants twice, the Redskins, the Dolphins. So they
got some cupcakes lined up.
Yeah.
But the Seahawks, of course, trail the Niners by a game in the division, as I said, in the conference. Saints also a game behind. They improved 9-2. Comeback to beat the Panthers 34-31. It wasn't necessarily a comeback, but they beat the Panthers there after a missed Joey Sly field goal. Cakes mentioned this early. Joey Sly, the Panthers kicker, missed 1 field goal and 2 extra points.
Ooh.
So they fall to 5-6. Kyle Allen actually had another good game. That guy's played
very
well this year. He had 3 touchdowns, no picks. DJ Moore, the Terp, 6 catches, 126, 2 touchdowns. So yep. Carolina had a chance, but you know, they lose. They fall to 5-6.
You know what's annoying is that all of the Saints fans claim victim to every single call that goes against them.
Oh,
now.
They do?
Because there was a late pass interference okay. that was challenged by the Panthers. And they ended up looking at it and reviewing it and being awarded pass interference
right.
before they missed the chip shot. And then every single Saints fan is just booing.
They're losing their minds.
Yeah, they're losing their
minds.
They're
never going to get over it.
They will never, ever, ever let it go.
At some point, you got to move past it.
So Saints,
you got jobbed. It happens.
Saints at 9-2, and we mentioned earlier the Seahawks are 9-2 after beating the Eagles. Eagles dropped to 5-6, but they're still just a game back in the division. Maybe that soft schedule. The Cowboys lose to the Patriots. 13-9.
Did you read some of the comments from Jerry Jones afterwards?
Yeah, Jerry Jones said, with the makeup of this team, I shouldn't be this frustrated.
Well, he directly called out the coaching.
Dak Prescott was about equal to Tom Brady. There wasn't much done offensively. The difference in the game, the Patriots blocked a punt, and they had an interception. So they win the turnover battle.
Yeah. Well, the elements were just outrageous in that game. Swirling winds. I mean, just rain throughout. It was tough conditions.
They're just smarter than other teams. Like, they were doing a lot of, like, pooch kicks, and the Cowboys couldn't handle it.
They also did get jobbed, though, at the end of that game with that phantom tripping call or whatever it was.
Yeah.
When there was about 2 minutes left on third down. They should have. They would have completed, right? They would have had the first down. It took that away and ended up having to punt.
I happened to see Gronk, I think it was his halftime. I didn't see any of the, I mean, I saw him on TV in the pregame, didn't hear him. But Gronk was pointing out, too, that, you know, Bill Belichick and the Patriots, they practice in all weather conditions. He goes, right. If it's 100 degrees, we practice outside.
Right.
If it's raining, if it's snowing, and maybe there's something to it. Yeah. I know Dak, like, switched, like, gloves in the game.
Right.
Brady wasn't spectacular, but kind of reminds me of the early years of the Patriots when Brady and the Patriots won Super Bowls. Brady wasn't spectacular, but their defense kind of carried them. And then they became like an offensive juggernaut, and Brady was fantastic. Maybe he's tailing off, but they're still getting wins. They're 10-1.
Well, it's not like he's got great weapons. I mean, he started out the season with a totally different set of receivers.
And yesterday, Sanu wasn't there, and Dorsett wasn't there.
N'Keal Harry brought one in the end zone. Drab's guy.
How many straight seasons with 10-plus wins?
I think it's 16.
17 now.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
No, you're watching the greatest coach in NFL history in Bill Belichick. There's no disputing it.
Tonight you've got the Ravens at 8-2 taking on the Rams. Kind of a must win for the Rams as they are pretty much out of that division with the 49ers winning, but battling for a wild card spot in the NFC. And the Ravens, of course, just a game back. Of the Patriots with the tiebreaker.
Like, it's kind of like must-watch TV with Lamar. He's basically the most exciting player. I think he's surpassed right now, currently, Mahomes is the most exciting player in the game.
Yep. I don't think anybody would disagree with you.
Yep.
Having an MVP campaign. So that's your Monday Night Football matchup, the Ravens at the Rams. All right, coming up next, we're going to get back into the Redskins. What is your biggest takeaway from the Redskins' win yesterday? 800-636-1067 is the number. Remember, Morgan Moses, Redskins right tackle. He'll join us at 8:20 here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.